The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Sinead Moriarty will help us choose the winner, and you're very welcome, Sinead.
Thank you, John. Lovely to be here.
And congratulations on your latest book, which is, as I said, called The Secrets Sisters Keep. And have you sisters yourself?
I do. I have one sister. She's 3 years older than I am, and we are very, very close. I have to say, I'm very lucky. I'm a great believer in sharing bedroom. I think it actually makes you close, because if you have to share a space with somebody, you kind of have to get on. But no, so we shared a bedroom kind of for all of our childhood, and we are very, very close. And to this day, we're still very close. I mean, she's my go-to person for absolutely everything.
And have you always got on?
We have, actually. Now, we obviously there were the odd quibble over clothes and shoes and that, but I remember one story. Our bedroom overlooked a coal shed, and one time she wasn't allowed out to parties, but anyway, she decided she was going anyway, so she climbed out the window onto the coal shed, across the garden and over the wall. So it was fine. So about midnight she came back, but in her haste to get back so that she wasn't found out, she forgot about the washing line that went across the garden. So she forgot to duck, and she almost decapitated herself trying to get back in. So for a week she was wearing a scarf, which most teenagers wear when they have a love bite.
That's true.
But she was actually trying to hide the fact that she almost chopped her head off.
I see.
Sneaking back in.
But she lived to tell the tale.
She did indeed.
And as I say, your new book, The Secret Sisters Keep, is about three sisters, mum of four, Julie, lawyer, Louise, and former model, Sophie. So do you draw on your own personal experience in all of this?
No, I don't. But I think that it's a very modern tale about become a modern woman with modern problems. The book, one of the women has a child who she thinks is perfect, but actually she ends up finding out that she has Asperger's, and it's about dealing with that and about loving your child regardless of what challenges they may face. One of the women has lost all her money and split up with her husband, and it's about dealing with that. It's about dealing with aging. Some people find that very difficult and don't really want to fight it as much as they can. And then one of the sisters who had struggled financially for a very long time comes into money but realizes that it isn't all that. So it's just really about very modern day problems, and it's about how, you know, when the chips are down, even though you may have sisters that you're not, you don't always agree with, that when the chips are down, you do kind of tend to come together.
So is there a lot of disagreement between the three sisters, between the two covers of the book?
There is, yes. There's a lot, yeah, there's a lot of, they don't agree with each other. They're very different personalities. But that's kind of the fun part of it, because each person has a very different voice, I think. So it's actually a sequel to a book I wrote about 4 years ago called Me and My Sisters, and I had a very strong reaction to that, so I decided to write about them and what happened 4 years later.
When you say you had a strong reaction, from who, and what were they saying?
From women, I suppose, really. Just saying that they really related to the book, and that, you know, that they had sisters and they recognised themselves in at least one, if not two, of the sisters, and that they felt that, you know, the way the book was written and their relationship was very real, and they really could kind of relate to the sisters and their issues. In the first book, one of the issues is how you lose your identity when you have children, and you no longer are, for example, Sinead Moriarty, you're Johnny's mum. And a lot of women give up work as well, and that's quite, can be very lonely and isolating, and that was something I really wanted to explore in that book, and I think people reacted very strongly to that.
And it's your 10th book in 10 years. That's very
right,
prolific.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's my job, it's what I do, you know, and people kind of say, is it hard to be disciplined? But I just feel very privileged. I do something I love. I've turned my hobby into a job, so I can't wait for the kids to go to school. I just love being at my desk quietly in my own world.
Yeah.
And, you know, as kind of we're all busy, life is very noisy. I just find it a real joy to be kind of quietly inside my head for 5 hours a day. I mean, I think it's very lucky to be able to do that.
So you're already thinking a few novels ahead, are you?
I'm kind of already kind of in the middle of the next one.
That's not about brothers or anything like that.
No, but maybe.
Well, joining us also in studio are three sisters, Jenny, Sarah and Grace McGinn. You're very welcome.
Thanks.
And, you'll have to introduce yourselves, because I don't know which is which now.
I'm Grace.
You're Grace.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Jenny. I'm the eldest.
Yeah. I see. You want to make that point, Jenny,
yes,
do you?
Yes.
And you're the founders of Opsh.com. You can tell us all about that. And there are six sisters, though, Jenny, in the McGinn family.
Yes, there are. We're quite a behemoth. It's a very busy family household. So I'm the oldest, and we go right down to 11, so 11 to 30.
I see.
Yeah, it's quite a stretch.
And how does that work?
Oops baby, I suppose.
The oops baby, yeah, exactly. It's brilliant. There's three of us here sitting today working together, and we've been working together for 6 years in total, but 2 years full time. So I think that's obviously a positive sign. But we've been very close. I mean, just some of the stories that we've been talking about, we totally resonate with. We've gone on holidays together, lived together, slept in the same rooms for many, many years, too many years. and yeah, we're pretty close. We still fight like hell, but very close.
What do you fight like hell about?
You know, the little things like people's perception of timekeeping and stuff, you know.
Okay, tell us more.
I shouldn't be admitting this live and air, but our mother has a very flexible understanding of time. And consequently, I'm extremely paranoid about timekeeping. So I'd rather be half an hour early than 5 minutes late. And each one of us has internalized a different response to that timekeeping.
I like to be quite efficient with my time, so I prefer to be fashionably late than to be too early and waiting around.
So timekeeping is one issue. What other issues are there? I mean, would you, as the eldest, would you be domineering, or should I ask the other two that?
Well, I can certainly answer that question on their behalf.
Yes.
No, I'd say I was quite bossy bits when I was younger, but I wouldn't say I'm that bossy anymore.
Yeah, there's some funny family videos where Jen would kind of like maybe open Sarah's Christmas presents because Sarah's too ill to do it herself.
I was just going to open them quicker than you would, so.
Well, because I suppose myself and Jenny, there's only 2 years between us, so, and Jen was a little bossy when she was younger, so I kind of let her do what you wanted, I suppose. And that year she did open every single one of my Christmas presents and decided which ones that I'd like. And
yeah, I was fashioning them.
Oh,
you
won't like this one, Sarah. I don't know where they went.
You weren't impressed with this, I take it, Sarah?
At the time, I didn't mind.
what age were you?
I was maybe like 4.
Okay.
So she was my big sister. I was like, yeah, no.
She was putting down a
marker. You open all my presents. I don't mind.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's changed now.
You
let her open my presents, I'd be very disappointed.
Yeah, but it is important in business, they say, the relationships between the different people in a business are vital to its success. So you must have rows.
Yeah, well, of course. Like setting up too many. No. We actually, you know, working together is one thing, and then working together in a startup when there's so many pressures and obviously things get heated and you're trying to make kind of 100 decisions a day, and half the time you actually don't really know how to make the decision, you know, because obviously our backgrounds are quite diverse, and you know, business is a new, well, you know, 2 years ago it was a new thing for us. And I think the first few months when we were working together, we probably underestimated how much of a toll it would take in terms of how we, you know, needing to learn how to work together quite quickly. And I think what we did was that we spent a few months really kind of teaching ourselves how to manage relationships and communications between us. And I think we were able to do that because we're sisters. We're obviously a lot very honest and open to each other. And because we're able to talk about that, we kind of, you know, we'd spend time basically like managing ourselves and actually listening to each other and understanding how each of us works and how each of us communicates. And I think the payoff in that is that over the last few months, the last year, it's made us stronger. And I think that it's kind of the unique, people get worried because we're sisters and we're working together in business, and they expect you must fight all the time. And, you know, it's like family fights bringing into the workplace. But we've almost like kind of done a 360 on that, because we can actually talk and listen to each other, whereas other people who maybe come together in a startup and don't know each other might know how to do that.
So it sounds like you've sort of rules put down, have you? What are the rules? I'm fascinated. What are the rules?
If you want to fight, go outside.
Take your tears outside. Yeah. No. I think that if you feel things are being a bit heated, that you need to pull yourself back.
Time out.
And actually listen to what the other person is saying about themselves. There's a few kind of technical things, like instead of saying, you know, you did this, it's like, I felt a little bit like this when, you know,
Grace,
you said
that. Serious psychology here.
go on. I'm fascinated.
You flip it, basically. It's always.
But isn't there a danger that two of you would sort of, you know, be in cahoots and exclude the third one? Isn't that a danger as well?
I actually think that. Oh God, sorry, I'm going on a little bit here about it. But I think having three of us actually helps, because if two of us are maybe brushing each other up against the wrong way, we have a third person who's able to kind of mediate between the two. I think it mightn't be this case for all people, but definitely for us, I think that we do that quite naturally with each other. So instead of two and one ganging up, which is, you know, it's quite a younger thing to do.
Yeah, and I think our skill sets are quite different as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we all have an independent perspective to bring to our discussions, so, you know, it's kind of, we're all just heads up against each other. So
completely,
it's not two against one, it's all against each other.
So it's completely different personalities as well, is it?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we do get on really, really well, but we definitely have distinctly different personalities.
I see.
Probably have a shorthand as sisters, don't you? You know, so it probably makes things move along more quickly.
Oh, yeah. Like our own.
Because you understand each other so well. Yeah.
Your own language. Yeah. Tell me more. Your own language.
You know by a look how someone's feeling.
Tell me about your own language, please.
We definitely have our own language, but we do have this thing, and I think people are starting to notice, especially when we're in meetings. And this is more at the start as well, like when we're having these, you know, high level business meetings with these, you know, 50-year-old businessmen. Sometimes we wouldn't feel our most comfortable, but we have this thing where we look at each other, and we thought it was really subtle. So I'd like look at Grace, and then Grace would start speaking, and Grace would look at Jenny, and Jenny would start speaking. But then somebody pointed
out. It's not subtle at all.
Somebody said to us, I always notice the way you look when you want the other person to talk. I was like, oh no, everybody knows now. But we're better.
I think as well, you know, growing up six McGinn sisters, it's quite unusual. And we're from Kildare. Our dad's brother has five daughters, and they're the same age as us by the oops baby, and they live 2 miles down the road from us, so there's a lot of female McGinns in the Kildare area, so the McGinn name has kind of people play with it a lot, particularly in Kildare, and have come up with various McGinnisms about the McGinn dynasty.
Tell us more.
We heard the other day that apparently when certain people in Dublin see us coming down the street, they have a little theme tune. McGinn.
Okay. So many of you anyway.
Yeah.
All in good nature. You got married a few weeks ago.
I did, yeah. I did. 3 weeks ago now. Feels like a lifetime ago, but...
Yeah, and the lucky man?
The lucky man. Oh, I hope he's listening. Paul, yeah.
I see. So he's surrounded by women then.
He is, and he could not be happier.
Yeah.
He's delighted to have inherited so many sisters.
Just gels into the family so easily, and especially from a family of all girls, we have no like brothers per se.
Yeah.
But he's just thrown himself right in the deep end, has like really, you know, personal and different relationships with all of us, including right down to the 11-year-old as well. So I think he's just over the moon.
And tell us about the business itself.
Opsh
is an anagram of shop. Tell us exactly who's going to tell us about the business and how it's operating.
I will go for it.
Defer to each other. I tell you, a lot of politeness going on here this morning. Very polite.
So with Opsh is an inversion of the word shop, and we created a new word because we're building a new concept. And with Opsh, we're trying to revolutionise how women shop online. We've been working in the fashion industry, particularly the e-commerce space, for 6 years now. And there's this promise that online shopping is really simple and fast, and it's going to change your life, and it's going to make things so much easier for you, and you're going to have lots of free time. And in fact, shopping online can be extremely tedious. You can spend a disproportionate amount of time searching for something online versus going into a shop. And we just thought, you know, there's just so much innovation out there in terms of like digital technology. There must be a way of making that shopping experience faster and easier and more personalized. I think that's, you know, it's a big word that we talk about with the business. Shopping online, it can be more personalized, and it needs to be. And this is what we're really, really looking at, so that when you come to Opsh, you can personalize that experience. So we allow you to shop across all of your favorite high street brands with just one account. And the kind of goal underpinning that is that a user will personalize that experience, so they only ever see the retailers that they like and the products they like and the sizes they like, so they can get in and get out basically as quickly as possible. It's about driving the conversions, you know.
But it's a new business, so with totally a new business comes pressure to succeed.
Yes.
And to get the thing right. Yeah. So does that not bring stresses? You know, as I said, the three of you looking very happy with each other this morning. Does that not bring stresses into your lives that might be a little bit exacerbated by the fact that you're sisters?
Yeah, it definitely does. It kind of comes hand in hand with, I think, a startup. That's definitely an impression I get from knowing other startups. I think the way we kind of view it and summarize it for people is that it's very much a roller coaster journey. The lows are really, really low, and you really, you know, it becomes, you know, very stressful, overwhelming. But the highs are unbelievably high. They're kind of the highs that you don't get from doing something else, or obviously from our opinion, that you don't get from doing something else. So you're balancing this roller coaster with the prospect of like ultimately getting to the goal that you want to do. And that's enough, I think. Like, still being excited about where it is you want to get to is enough to keep you on that roller coaster. And then, you know, the occasional high is just an added bonus.
And just thinking that you're three of six sisters, so is it intended that the other three would come on board at some stage? Are they doing 100%. Completely separate? Is it?
Yeah.
Well, the next they don't know to yet. Us, Lorna, she's going into her last year in college, but last year she had to do a 6-month internship, so she actually came on board and did it with us, and she was amazing.
It could be that you'll have six sisters in the same business pretty soon.
I have to say, right, one of the reasons that we do work well together is because we have a great team around us who are not family members and not sisters, you know. So it's a big shout out to, like, we have brilliant staff working with us in the office, and even Justine, and we work with a lot of consultants and advisors, and that makes a big difference. So if there's going to be six McGinn sisters working together, there needs to be like a multiplier effect of other people in the ecosystem.
And Sinead, when you listen to this, do you ever think that, of course, you have your own business essentially, you're self-employed, but your work is very solitary, so do you envy the three
I mean, I think it must be lovely to share, you know, the good times and the bad times with other people, because it's a bit solitary. And I was just thinking back to when I was first trying to get published, and my first two books failed miserably, but I was getting all the rejections on my own and a wallpaper in the room. But it would have been nice actually to share that with somebody. But the nice thing about, I think, being a writer in Ireland is that you get to know a lot of other writers. So I have plenty of pals to meet for coffee and discuss.
They become your writing sisters.
The good things and the bad things. Yeah, absolutely. But I think everybody needs a colleague or two to kind of, sort of talk to, because you do spend an awful lot of time on your own. And sometimes, most of the time it's wonderful, but sometimes it can be a little unhealthy.
Yes.
And you need to get out from your little rabbit hole and come out into the real world like today. It's very nice.
It is indeed. And would you confide then in your older sister Vivian when it comes to important things?
My sister Sue, absolutely. I remember when she went to Australia for a year, and this is before mobile phones, and my father got the phone bill, and he just went, for Jesus sake, you could have gone to Australia, had a long conversation with her and flown back for the price of that phone bill. But we just kind of had to talk to each other, you know. Yeah. So it's great now. And then email was amazing, because I lived away for a long time and email was just wonderful. I couldn't believe it. We could communicate for free in work. So no, it's great.
And plenty of texts in on the subject of sisters and relationships. Orla says, my mother and her sister Louise have lived on different continents for almost 40 years. And yet, if you were to visit either of their houses, they have managed to buy similar or identical furnishings and often the same clothes, totally unbeknownst to each other. My big sister is fantastic. She spent her 20th wedding anniversary helping me to scrub my house in Kerry after a tenant had left it in bits. She had the fabulous honour of finding in the oven 3 months after Christmas the remains of his Christmas turkey. Even ask what she found under the sofa. I owe her big time. And another from Joe Buckley in Slane. I had breast cancer 2 years ago, and my two sisters were brilliant. The older one calling me from the UK most days, and my baby sister doing the most wonderful things, lying in bed with me and watching crap TV when she had other things to be doing with her family and work. One day she took my iPlayer and downloaded all our favourite songs, a mad mix from Barry White to U2, our happy memory songs. It came as a great surprise, and when I listened to all these songs I cried and laughed. Thanks Anne, I love you, from Joe in Slane. And another one here from Julie. My sister and I had quite a strict nana from Waterford. When we were 7 and 8, we snuck up to her bedroom band and stumbled across her knickers drawer. We couldn't get over the size of her pants and realised they were like kites and might fly. We stole all our knickers and hid them until we were halfway home in the car to Wicklow. We put our theory to the test. They did fly. From a moving car, at least. Our parents only noticed what we were doing when we'd flown loads, and we started singing Hi Ho Knickers, A Lonely Bum. But I can't remember where we got that from. Some other song. That's and Nana never found out, importantly. That was from Julie. So things are going well anyway, and you're happy that there's no difficulty or there's no danger that the three of you will sort of fall apart and the business will, because there's plenty of history of businesses, family businesses breaking apart and the relationships as a result sundering. So I suppose you're conscious of that without getting too worried about it. You'd be conscious of something like that, Grace, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you're definitely aware of it. And because we're a family business, we're aware of other family businesses, some of who have done amazing work, you know, some of the big brands and the companies and stuff like that. I think at this point, we're really confident in ourselves that we've kind of reached a point in our relationship and our working relationship that we're really happy with. And we're able to, like, obviously, you know, it's not plain sailing all the time and we do have our disagreements, but as long as we can still make sure that we're able to, manage those disagreements properly, there's no fear in us that it will be a family issue that would ever affect.
I think if that was going to happen, it would have happened like a year ago.
We've gone too far.
So even if the business fails, you'll remain friends, firm friends and sisters.
Oh yeah. I don't think our parents would let us not be friends.
Well, look, good luck with it. It's called OPSH.com and Jenny, Sarah, Grace, again, thank you very much. And maybe come back when you've all six sisters on board.
Yeah, there's some more seats. And just to say as well, we'd love if anyone out there would like to sign up at Offshore.com because we're going live in September and that would be great to tell a friend or a sister or a mother.
So they just go to the website.
Yeah, just go to the website, OPSH.com, and then you can sign up there and we'll keep you notified of our launch.
Great stuff. And Sinead, you've kindly agreed to do our judging of our sister stories this morning. Plenty of them coming in this morning. But can I just say a big thank you and good luck in business to Jenny, Sarah, Grace McGinn. And as I said, the website is called OPSH.com. In a moment, we're going to be hearing some music from the Basque Country.
The John Murray Show on RTÉ Radio 1.